You're listening to the Brooklyn Power Trip.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, RJ the Brooklyn Savage, with a little bit of a solo savagery report. And coming at you in the ones and twos, doing what we got to do today to help push some content out there. Monty had to work, and, how can I say this in a way that he can appreciate this? But, Wally World thinks they own you. So, yeah, good luck with that. We wish him all the best in his day today. But anyways, I'm here solo. I made it to talk about this week in wrestling, Raw, NXT, Dynamite, SmackDown. Just here to give some quick thoughts and stuff like that. Starting with, I won't say a topic of controversy, but a topic of division. And that's Damian Priest winning the Money in the Bank contract last weekend. I have zero problems with Damian Priest winning that contract. And why? Because Damian Priest is involved in a high-profile storyline right now. Him and Finn Balor have been teasing tension the last few weeks. They're both involved with the World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins. That's drama. Wrestling is a male soap opera for the most part. We have to have a little drama, and that drama causes some of these men to fight, and women too. So I'm okay with Damian Priest winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. LA Knight has nothing going on right now. Doesn't have a feud. Whether that's WWE's fault or not, I think it is, personally. It's just the way it is. He has nothing going for himself right now. He has all the momentum in the world. Should be in a program. And now I'll talk about that a little bit later on, what they can do with him. And it's pretty much universally pushed at this point, but I'll drop my two cents on it a little bit later on. But I think that it's for the best for Damian Priest in this Judgment Day storyline that they have going on right now, that he have the briefcase. He went on to beat Nakamura. And so he had a good showing. So at least they're not doing a stupid ass losing streak. They were good for that. Every guy who won Money in the Bank always had like a stupid ass losing streak. Way beyond me, man. I don't fucking get it. I don't get it. Shayna and Ronda had a segment that was really, really good. Shayna Baszler got a good baby face reception. Excuse me. And just proceeded to verbally press Ronda Rousey. It was crazy. Nobody wants to hear you talk. Which is what we've all been saying about Ronda Rousey. See, here's the thing about Ronda Rousey, right? Here's what I would have done with Ronda Rousey to fix that a long time ago. She's been universally seen saying that she's a Paul Heyman girl. I would have had Paul Heyman be her manager. Ronda just stand there and just look fucking mean while Paul Heyman does all the talking for you. Who wouldn't want that? Paul Heyman's damn good at his job. Damn good at his job. So that would have been awesome for her. But Shayna Baszler just pressed Ronda Rousey. They got into a little bit of a fight, and Ronda Rousey ate this vicious knee from Shayna Baszler. It looked like Shayna Baszler killed her. The way her head just said, boom! Oh my god damn, alright. So, clearly we're getting Ronda and Shayna. So, the word is that Ronda Rousey is going to be finishing up after SummerSlam. And if this is the last gift that Ronda gives us, you know, putting Shayna on the way out, putting Shayna over on the way out, then I'm for it. Fine, let's do it. Fuck it. Why not? Usually when you're working with one of your best friends, usually the matches, the content, the quality of the content is usually good. 8 times out of 10. 8 times out of 10. So I'm looking forward to that, actually. Natty and Rhea finally had a great match. Finally had a great women's championship match the other day. I thought it was really, really good. Natty looked good. We rag on Natty a lot, but Natty looked good. She's an in-ring general. And if I'm Triple H, Shawn Michaels, whoever, Natty would be my girls' coach for the girls down in NXT coming up. She would be one of the trainers. Definitely. And Rhea continues her hot streak, man. Rhea Ripley is undoubtedly the woman of the year, man. Just really putting on good stuff. She's involved in everything. She's over. And I'll tell you what. If you show a casual fan or somebody who's not even a wrestling fan a picture of Rhea Ripley, male or female, and they go, God damn, that girl is fucking hot. Like, I want to see more of her. Like, I actually know this girl in town, not even a wrestling fan, but she saw Rhea Ripley because I posted her on Facebook. I think I posted like a promo or something. I think it might have been the Christmas one, but Dom got arrested, and she was like, oh my god, that girl is beautiful. And I told her what her name was and this, that, and the other. And next thing you know, when the WWE came to Charleston like a month or two back, she went to the fucking show and had the Rhea Ripley get on and everything. I'm like, goddamn, Rhea Ripley out here converting non-wrestling fans into wrestling fans just based off her look and presence alone. So, and that's what's considered a draw, you know. That can be considered a draw too. So that's pretty good. I like that. They finally had a nice match to pay off the shenanigans that they've been doing the last couple of weeks with Natty. So that's good. Maxine Dupri had her in-ring debut. Alpha Academy and the Viking Raiders duking it out. I like this storyline. It's cheeky, very on the nose. Her learning how to wrestle with Chad Gable being the coach and shit like that. Like, that's really cool. Like, it's different. It's something that we don't see all the time on TV, so I like that. And the fact that the moves don't look clean and crisp and everything like that, it don't look polished, it makes it even better, because why should she be busting out all these crazy moves and making them look so good right out of the gate when she's supposed to be a novice? So I like that little attention to detail, whether it's indirect or not. And plus, it's over too. Oh, thank you! Drew McIntyre continued his pursuit of Gunther the Ring General this past Monday too, by preventing a multi-man attack on Matt Riddle after Matt Riddle fought Giovanni Vinci. And I love Drew McIntyre. I love his story, everything like that. But he should not be beating Gunther for that title. I'm sorry. He can't. Not unless they drag it out. I mean, if they drag it out and he beats Gunther for it after, because he needs to break Honky Tonk's record. Gunther does. So if they wait until after SummerSlam or whatever for him to do that, then I'm cool. But if not, don't do it. Don't do it, man. We're so close. We're so close to getting that bad taste out of our mouths. And Seth Rollins took on Dominic Mysterio. They had a fine match. Basic stuff. Nothing really special to the finish. Damian Priest just came in there and just whooped Seth Rollins' ass. Dom's like, cash it in, cash it in. Damian Priest was thinking about it. And as soon as he went to go, cash in or whatever, fucking Finn Balor comes out there. John Woo kicks fucking Seth Rollins into fucking Damian Priest, and he fucks it all up. Seth Rollins eventually escapes through the bickering of Priest and Balor, and Dominic ate a pedigree. So we're continuing the drama there for Judgment Day, which is why I'm happy Damian Priest won the briefcase. And just a shot of Rhea holding Dominic in her arms as Finn and Priest standing over both of them looking like parents bickering. That was a great shot. Love that. But I thought Raw was pretty basic. You know, all right. Nothing crazy, nothing spectacular, nothing to write home about. Which is all right, I guess. SummerSlam is not until... they got a few weeks to build up SummerSlam, but they better get the ball rolling come Monday. Come next week, they got to really get the ball rolling on the SummerSlam build. And by the way, to add to the Natty and Rhea stuff, it looks like Raquel Rodriguez might be the next challenger for Rhea Ripley, which, based off that matches in NXT, that can be a great hot-set fight. So I'm looking forward to that. I really am. NXT was headlined by the Schism. The dyad of the Schism. Rip Fowler, and I don't even know what the hell the other guy's name is anymore. They took on the Creeds, Julius and Brutus. Let me talk about the Creeds. The Creeds, man, fucking fantastic team, man. I can't believe, like, certain podcasters that I respect and listen to, they shit on the Creeds. And I'm like, what are you guys seeing that I'm not seeing? Are we seeing two different versions of this fucking program every time they're on? Because Julius Creed is a fucking freak of nature, man. That dude be hopping on the top rope with no wasted motion. Be fucking German suplexing mofos. He be fucking just overhead throwing them. Like, the dude's a freak, man. He's a freak of nature, bro. And I can't wait to see him progress. I think he's going to be a big singles guy down the line. I don't know why, but I think he's going to be a big singles guy down the line. His brother, too. Because Brutus is a fucking freak, too. That motherfucker pulled off a springboard. And I mean a clean springboard 450 in this matchup, man. It was fucking crazy. But, the match ended where somebody in a Schism mask and a hoodie hopped the barricade and headbutted one of the Creeds, and the dyad took advantage, and well, the Creeds are out of NXT. So I don't know if that means main roster. I don't know if that means the Creeds stick around to try to, you know, fuck with Schism incognito, because this can go, you know, either way, honestly. I just don't want them to rush up the Creeds and not have a plan for these guys. That's my problem. I want to see them get called up, but only if they have a plan. And with the right build and story that warrants the Creed brothers being on the main roster. So, as far as who is in the mask... I said the other day that I thought, due to the build of the person, I thought that it was either Joe Gacy or Joe Coffey. Because, and I say Coffey because, and I told somebody this on Twitter, I'm thinking Joe Coffey because Joe Coffey's role since returning to NXT has been solely to protect his brother and his boy, to protect those tag team titles, to defend, to protect Gallus's kingdom, rather. So that's why I was thinking maybe it might have been Joe Coffey. But I was thinking maybe Joe Gacy as well, because, well, Joe Gacy got kicked out during the early parts of the match. Come back incognito with a mask, headbutts one of the Creed brothers, you know what I'm saying? Doesn't get caught. So I don't know. Maybe it could be a trainee. I have no idea. Everybody's got a beard nowadays. A lot of guys are very stocky. They have a lot of stocky guys on the roster, so I guess we're going to have to find out. But about a new Schism member, though, I don't think they even need... Well, if the Dyad are out, the Grizzled Young Veterans, if they're indeed still going to be out the door come October, they're going to probably need some more members. If they assisted on keeping Schism a thing, which I think they are, I think it would be in their best interest, though, to really put another female into this group, a female that can actually wrestle. Ava Rain, you know, I know NXT is developmental, and I defend people sometimes, but Ava Rain ain't ready for that prime time, baby. Not yet. She ain't ready for that prime time. So I would keep Ava Rain out of that ring for a while, and I would bring in a girl that has some experience, or a girl who's showing a little bit more promise and progress in that ring than her. I would put them in that spot. Not to take her spot, but to have a female worker in the group too. They just need somebody with some XP in that spot, and maybe help Ava along the way in that aspect. So hopefully, if Schism does get a new member, they get another new member, a guy that can work or something like that, and then a girl that can work too, I think that could be pretty beneficial to Ava. And, you know, they can have some female representation that they don't have to hide, you know? Stacks. Who's Stacks playing here? Is he playing Tony D'Angelo? Is he playing Gallus? Who's he playing? Because a man's ego can run wild in these situations. This man's out here calling himself the new Don. Does he really think he's the new Don? Or is he fucking with Joe Coffey? I guess we got to wait to see next week. Because Stacks is going to put it all on the line. If he beats Gallus, him and D'Angelo gets free, they get a tag team title shot. If Stacks loses, well, Tony D'Angelo rots in prison. He gets nothing. So I guess we'll see what happens there as well. Von Wagner is continuing to slowly but surely get over. He beat the shit out of Big Body Javi, who I love, by the way. That dude is charismatic. He fucking gets it. And honestly, what I would do with Big Body Javi, since Grayson Waller is on the main roster, what I would do with Big Body Javi is I would give Big Body Javi his own show and let him do his thing, because they need somebody to replace Grayson Waller. I would give that spot to Big Body Javi because he could talk. He's charismatic. But Von Wagner destroyed him, man. And Von Wagner, he's got zero charisma. His vocal presence is terrible. But Von Wagner is a big dude. He's a badass looking guy. Scary looking guy. And Stone's job is to help hide Von Wagner's weaknesses and let Von Wagner focus on his positives, which is his physical attributes. I think if they can find a way to tie those things together tightly, Von Wagner could be all right. But he was over with this crowd, man. But then again, the NXT crowd eats everything. They eat everything. You can say shit in the middle of the ring and they're gonna go crazy. Then we have Baron Corbin vignette, burning all his old gimmicks. He's done with the bullshit. I'm interested to see what they do with Baron Corbin. I really am. I agree with Monty last week when we was talking about the theme song, though. I would just go back to End of Days, man. End of Days was fucking awesome ass theme song. And I would keep Baron Corbin down there to do what I don't know off the top of my dome right now, because Carmelo Hayes beat him. So he can't just get another title shot like that. But I think Baron Corbin should stay down in the NXT. And not that he needs to really polish anything, but earn some reps. Earn some reps, have some cool matches down there. Maybe bring along somebody else that we might not even be thinking of. So that's the beautiful thing about NXT. I have so much talent down there that you can overlook some people, and then somebody can come out of the blue, out of nowhere, and be like, God damn, all right. What do we have next? The one thing I love about NXT that I really don't get a chance to touch on sometimes is I love the fact that the women are featured heavily on this show. We have multiple programs going on here. Kalani Jordan made her debut the other day. Looked really good. Tatum Paxley, they're doing something with her. She's kind of slowly creeping into that Black Heart Abyss type deal. So I want to see that continue to develop. Excuse me. Gotta get it all out. I want to see that continue to develop. I want to also see more of Kalani Jordan. if Dana Brooke's going to be down in NXT, having her quote-unquote be around some of the younger talent, I don't mind that. As long as she's not beating the younger talent. Because Dana Brooke ain't that accomplished to be doing that. And her and Cora Jade, their thing is continuing. Looking forward to see that. I like Cora Jade. Tiffany Stratton looked like she started something with Ivy Nile. I'm looking forward to that because that's two women made from scratch that the WWE has had in their developmental system that are actually impressive. So I look forward to seeing that matchup, shall it happen. JC Jane and Lyra Valkyrie had a match as well. It was all right. And, you know, JC Jane taking it personal by attacking and ripping up Lyra Valkyrie's feathers. So that's something to look forward to. And Gigi Dolin. You know, Kiana James threw some paint on her last week. Well, this week, or this past week, Gigi Dolin returned a favor to that office. So that's continuing as well. So I love that about NXT. Multiple women programs. Especially programs away from the title. Oh, and also Blair Davenport and Roxanne Perez also had a match too. That was all right. The finish kind of came out of nowhere. The Kamigoye. I mean, I like that Blair's using it, but damn, came out of nowhere. Kind of fell flat a little bit, but that's going to continue as well, I'm pretty sure. And I can't wait to see that. Mustafa Ali and Tyler Bate had a match. I love Mustafa Ali's disingenuous character. I love it. It's great. And he was just hamming it up in this matchup, man. And he took one from Tyler Bate. And so he'll see Wes Lee for the championship at a later date, presumably at Great American Bash, right? I'm assuming. Save it for the Great American Bash. But that should be a damn good match, though. Damn good match. Then we had Eddie Thorpe versus Damon Kemp. I like this a lot. NXT Underground, really good stuff, man. Really good stuff. They were trying to lay it in thick. Damon Kemp working his collegiate background skills into this. Eddie Thorpe, you know, he product of the New Japan dojos. So it was really good seeing him, these guys, you know, duke it out a little bit and stuff like that. I tell you what, though. I ain't taking no goddamn bump from the ring outside to the ring. No, fuck that. Damon Kemp gave this man, Eddie Thorpe, a goddamn belly-to-belly from inside the ring onto the outside. Fuck that. No way, Jose. Especially a nigga big like Damon Kemp. Nah, I'm good. I'm good, dog. I'm good. I'm good. No way. But Eddie Thorpe wins after Damon Kemp. Eddie Thorpe posted Damon Kemp and got him in a triangle armbar in the ring afterwards. So, and the referee stopped. Damon Kemp didn't tap out or anything like that. He just kind of, the referee stopped it because Eddie Thorpe, while he had the triangle armbar on, he was elbowing Damon Kemp upside the head. So, the referee called it at that point. And it was pretty good. I like that Eddie Thorpe, he was in there jamming and shit, and the audience on the outside of the ring, they were all tapping the ring to the rhythm of his music. That was pretty cool. And then all of a sudden, Kale Dixon decided he wanted to get in Gabe Stevenson's face and touch his gold medals. He was kind of mocking him and shit, and Gabe Stevenson just proceeds to fucking belly to belly this guy. Now before this, hold on. Because I forgot to mention this, actually. So after that horrendous bump that Eddie Thorpe took on the outside from that belly to belly from Damon Kemp, Gabe Stevenson was just pointing. He was in Eddie Thorpe's face trying to get him up, but he was pointing at his medal. He was holding his medal to his face. And Booker T was like, what the hell is that going to do for him? Like, that ain't going to do nothing to help him. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, Eddie Thorpe is not even American, I don't believe. He's not American, I don't believe. So, like, what is that going to do for him? Because I believe he's, New Zealand? I believe he's a Kiwi and he's like Native American as well. So I was just like, what is that gonna do for him, man? It's like Abyss with the Hulk Hogan's Hall of Fame ring is supposed to give him powers. Doing, doing. I thought that was funny as hell. Booker T, what the hell? What's that supposed to do for him? How's that gonna help him? But yeah, Gabe Steveson, there was a little bit of a showcase. He was just suplexing dudes left and right. Tavion Heights, who's been teaming up with Damon Kemp on live shows and on NXT Level Up, so I thought that was pretty interesting. Then he also gave a belly-to-belly suplex to Miles Bourne, and then he gave another one to this big motherfucker who I couldn't identify. So I thought that was crazy. Gabe Steveson looks like he might be ready, and what I think this might set up, honestly, I think because Damon Kemp and Tavion Heights have been teaming up a whole lot in NXT Level Up and on house shows, what I'm thinking is maybe Eddie Thorpe and Gabe Steveson might be a tag team, and they might have a tag team match, and that might be Gabe Steveson's debut against his brother and Tavion Heights. That's what I'm thinking for maybe a Great American Bash or something. I guess we'll see. I'm just throwing that out there. And that's pretty much it for NXT. Oh, Braun and Dragunov. You know, Braun was teasing a big announcement. Then Dragunov got in his grill. They had unfinished business, man. So they're going to have a number one contenders match. The winner seeing Carmelo Hayes. Honestly, I'm thinking this might turn into a triple threat somehow, some way. Somehow, some way. I think this is going to be a triple threat. I don't know. I just feel it in my soul that it's going to be a triple threat. But yep, that was NXT. My thoughts on that. I thought NXT was a pretty good show. Like, I mean, they have variety on here, which is what it was lacking whenever it first moved to USA. It was lacking variety, different characters, different storylines, stuff for you to hang on to. It was lacking that, which is why, most of the IWC hated NXT 2.0, I actually liked NXT 2.0. Because while people were green in the ring, they were trying to present me characters and stories and shit like that. Stuff that Triple H forgot about once NXT went head-to-head with Dynamite or whatever the fuck. So I'm good with that. But NXT, I thought was really, really interesting. And I honestly can't wait till next week to see what happens. Dynamite this week, Adam Cole, MJF. I thought everything concerning these two guys was really, really great. From the workout scene to Adam Cole kind of making light of SJW work. And just a couple other different things, man. But Cole and MJF, this is a good dynamic. I like it a lot. And they went on to have a match against The Butcher and Matt Menard, which was all right. It was fine. But seeing Cole and MJF are two of my favorites. I loved MJF ever since his CZW run back in, 2015, 16-ish. And Cole, I mean, my God. Cole is just, dude. CZW like 10 years ago or 2011 when he was with like Mia Yim, back when he was wearing like the green trunks, when he was the Panama City Playboy and he had Mia Yim with him. He was CZW world champ, like he was healing it up. So that's how far back I go with Cole. And so these two guys together is really, really, I like it a lot. But we all know how this shit's gonna end. MJF is gonna beat the shit out of Cole. They're gonna have they're gonna go back to feuding. And I'm all for it. This is just a little bit of a speed bump into doing that. And they're having fun along the way. MJF sung Adam Cole happy birthday. And MJF sung that shit with soul. MJF is a damn good singer. Damn good singer, man. So I thought that was pretty cool. Of course, you know, MJF got cake in his face. So I thought that was funny too. Man, he was a good sport about it. Really, really like that. Bollywood Boys getting some work here on Dynamite. Love to see it because I like the Bollywood Boys. I thought they were really talented, man. Really, really good talented people. So I'm glad that they're getting a shot in AEW. Jericho and Don Callis also had a promo segment. Pretty much Don Callis wants Jericho to join his family. Jericho's going to think about it. I hope this is no back out from the Sammy Jericho tension that they were teasing. I hope that this is not a back out from that, because that's the best thing that Chris Jericho can do for Sammy Guevara is have a feud with him and help put him over in the end. If you book it right, Jericho can beat Guevara the first match, and then Guevara gets his win back in the second match, and then Guevara can beat Jericho in a 2 out of 3 falls match or some shit like that. And then boom, Sammy's a big baby face. You can go along your way. Jericho, you did good work with him. Bam. And that still could very well happen. And this can all be a little bit of a swerve to get away from that for a while. Of course, Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia are tag teaming in this blind eliminator tournament for AEW. Which is interesting, by the way. I don't hate it. Other people are kind of poo-pooing on it a little bit, but I don't hate it. Whatever. It's something for some of the guys to do, so I'm not complaining about it. At least it's not random matches just to have random matches. It's random teams having matches, but it's fine. It's a part of a tournament. There's a hook there. I got no problems with it whatsoever. Kenny Omega, Will or Useless. They had a match. I thought it was really good. Something struck me while watching this matchup. I tolerate Kenny Omega a whole lot more without the Elite being around. So, I don't know. More solo Omega. He put on another good match here with Will or Useless, a guy who I cannot care. I can't care about this guy whatsoever. Like, I don't care if he's a great wrestler. That's what people throw in you. He's a great wrestler, but what else can he do? He's plank. Like Monty says, plank. What does he do? What does he do besides, you know, a wrist lock? Fine, okay. There's other guys on the roster that can do that too. Danny Garcia could do that. At least Danny Garcia is making me laugh with this stupid ass dance he's doing with no rhythm whatsoever. It's ridiculous. But I don't know, man. Willie Yuta, he's got to come up with something. Because the Blackpool Combat Club, when they go their separate ways, man, he's going to have a hard time. He better learn from Bryan Danielson. That's all I know. Like, and he might be hurt now, so I hope it's not bad. Because I don't hate the guy. I need some oomph from him besides the wrestling skills. Because he's got it. He's got great wrestling skills. Great technical wrestler. But what else can you do for me, man? How can you draw me in to want to see you wrestle? Because I know you're going to give me a good match, but talk me to wanting to see it. Is that too much to ask? I don't know. Maybe I might be asking for too much. Or not. Nick Wayne is coming in next week. It's his 18th birthday. He's going to be fighting Swerve Strickland. And oh my God. Look, I got no problems with Nick Wayne coming in, right? None whatsoever. I actually like Nick Wayne. I've seen his work, him and Jordy Oliver, who should be getting an AEW contract too, because he's been working his ass off, been trying to get himself in some good shape, and he's been busting his ass everywhere too. So Jordan Oliver should be getting an AEW contract, something. Maybe even a WWE contract. I don't know. He fits the timeline of 2.0 or whatever. But Nick Wayne, got no problems with him coming in. I think he's a good wrestler and everything like that. My problem with this matchup, though, even though it's going to be a good match before somebody tells me, oh, it's going to be a great match. I know that. Got no doubts. I've seen Nick Wayne work. Swerve is one of my favorites, period. I know what he can do. My problem with this is that Swerve is going to lose yet again, most likely. 9 times out of 10. He's going to lose again. And it's like, what are we doing with this guy? What are we doing with Swerve? What are we doing with him? I see no advancement. He loses time and time again, but there's no growing frustration there. He comes out there smiling and flashing his grill and this, that, and that, and not taking certain things seriously. And it's like, what are we doing with him? What are we doing with him? Can we do something with this guy? You have him with Prince Nana, one of the best managers in the world. One of the best in the world. That could put a client over. That can put a guy like Swerve over. And we're not doing any of that. We're not doing video packages for this. We're not doing backstage skits for this. Talking is Prince Nana's strong suit. Use it. And Swerve, one of the best in the world, not doing anything, but having great matches for somebody who tells me that. There's more than this wrestling business than having a great match. Like, tell me a good story. Because this Keith Lee shit, the shit with Keith Lee, has been on and off and on and off for the longest now. And I'm tired of it. Like, I need them to do something with Swerve. You got him out there in Jimmy Rave's crown jewel jacket. For us OG Ring of Honor fans who realize that, recognize the importance of that, that should not be wasted. That should not be wasted. And that jacket should not be on a guy that's losing. To make matters worse. My God, Jimmy Rave is probably rolling over in his grave right now, man. Come on. We got to do a little bit more better with Swerve, man. A whole lot more better. Actually. And the NBC, too. The NBC as well. Those are three big motherfuckers, bro. They should be whipping ass on Dynamite. Collision, Rampage, something. Whipping ass. I know they whipping ass in Ring of Honor. Fine, cool, whatever. But if you're going to have them with Swerve, you got to use them. Use them. Have them beat motherfuckers up. There's no way in the world. Swerve Scott with Khan. That motherfucker is Jack Diesel. Jack Diesel. I believe he's natural. But this motherfucker is Jack Diesel. Then you got Toa Leona, who's a fucking beast. Nice guy, too, by the way. I've talked to him a couple times on Instagram. Nice guy. Nice guy. I'm not sure if I should be saying that. might hurt my argument there, but he's a beast. He's a fucking beast. And then you got Brian Cage, you know what I'm saying, who's still a beast, you know, whether he's natural or not. Most of us believe he's not natural. But Brian Cage is the monster. He's the machine. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do proof. Swerve should not be losing matches at all to anyone. I just don't get it. I don't get it. But I enjoyed Dynamite. I thought it was, a lot of people say it was lacking and whatnot, but I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought it was a fine show. A fine show. Then we had SmackDown last night, which was pretty much the Bloodline show. With a few things sprinkled in there. Tribal Court. A lot of people went crazy. Google Gaga over this. I wouldn't say it's the segment of the year or anything like that. I like the segment a little bit later on, but I'll get to that in a few. But pretty much they had the Tribal Court, pretty much showing a lot of clips from the early stages of the Bloodline until the point that we are in present time, which is Roman Reigns and the Usos at odds with each other, of course. And Roman Reigns feigned making Jey Uso the Tribal Chief, gave him a low blow, and the attack was on. And they beat the shit out of Jimmy Uso and put him through the table. And later on, you know, Jimmy Uso gets carted off to the local medical facility. WWE-isms, right? Theory and Sheamus had a pretty basic United States Championship match. Now I want to get to this for a second, because I think a program between LA Knight and Theory would pop. And I'm in agreement with a lot of people in the IWC. I think that LA Knight should be the guy that beats Austin Theory for that championship. They ain't doing nothing with Theory. Honestly, that win for John Cena might have been the kiss of death of his career, because he ain't been doing jack shit ever since. Like, they've been doing the stuff with Pretty Deadly and whatnot, which I got no problems with. But my thing with Theory is this, because a lot of people say Theory's missing something, right? He's got a good look, great in the ring, and he is great in the ring. Great in the ring, very innovative. He's in shape, he can talk, he's confident, but there's something missing. And I suggested that maybe Theory needs an entourage. Maybe you get him with a hot girl, and then maybe you have him have a heavy. And I think maybe that's what Theory needs. Pretty Deadly in Theory, I don't think that should be the crew there. I think if you put Pretty Deadly with anybody, they should be with a woman that's just as egotistical as they are. If you want to put them with anybody. I don't think that Pretty Deadly needs it, but whatever. But I think Theory could benefit from having an entourage with him. A girl and a heater. Maybe even a tag team. I don't know. But a tag team that fits his look, at least. And maybe guys he can hide behind, even. So I think that could be good. Hopefully it's something that Triple H can maybe try out. Because I think Theory needs something after he loses this United States Championship. Which I think LA Knight, like I said, I agree with most of the IWC. I think LA Knight can do some wonders with that United States Championship. Grayson Waller and Edge on the Grayson Waller effect. I like this a lot. Grayson Waller's rubbing elbows with a lot of the top talent in WWE since, you know, arriving to the main roster, getting drafted. And I mean, it wasn't slowing down here. Edge, I mean, my God, Edge. And, you know, they had some words and it led to a match. Edge wrestling on TV, Madison Square Garden against Grayson Waller. That's a rub in its own right there. Edge, and especially since Edge has been teasing like retirement and stuff like that. The fact that Edge gives Grayson Waller one of his last few matches, that's fucking crazy. That's a big rub. That's a big stamp of approval. And they had a fun match. I thought it was really fun. Grayson Waller is going to do some good things on the main roster, I believe. I believe he's going to do some big things. Very charismatic. Gives you that underneath the skin energy. And by the way, back to Theory for 1 second. If they don't do the entourage thing with Theory, by the way, I think they should try a babyface turn with Theory. Just saying. I think they should try a babyface. Because Monty was like, you know, him being the big goof that he was in NXT, maybe that might work. But to me, being a stickler to detail that I am, I think that's a little bit, that's character regression if he goes back to being the big goof that he was in NXT. Especially since he's older now, you know, his few years older. So I think that would be some character regression if he went back to being goofy in NXT, like he was in NXT. But I think maybe they should try a babyface turn with Austin Theory, because Austin Theory, this, you know, despite all the accusations and everything, the black mark on his name by half of the IWC, Austin Theory seems like a really mellow, chill guy. And I think maybe having him not be so cocky and arrogant, maybe having him maybe relate to the fans and have the fans relate to him, maybe that might do him some wonders. So I don't know, but that might be an avenue they might want to go down as well, maybe turning him babyface. But Grayson Waller is going to do some good things, though. Grayson Waller is so charismatic. He makes you want to punch him in the face. He's got that punchable face. Him and Theory both, but yeah. It's Grayson Waller, holy shit. But Edge, you swam. Stamp of approval. I like that. Good shit. Styles and Cross. I was disappointed. I literally was putting on my clothes. I left. All of a sudden, you know, Cross got beat by AJ. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I see everybody going crazy on Twitter about it. And I'm just wondering, like, why? Like, what are we doing here? But then I see a clip of Cross getting into the ring. They cut his intro midway. But Cross had his leg, his upper thigh, quad, he had fucking wrapped. He had it wrapped. And I'm like, okay, injury. I'm guessing the injury played a maybe the injury happened at the last minute or him training. And Cross being a guy who's a very stand-up guy and a guy that wants to make his commitments and stuff like that. Very disciplined guy that he is. Probably wanted to make the match, even if it was going to be a little bit of a squash or whatever. And he went out there and did what he did. And I just hope the injury's not bad. I hope that the decision... Hopefully the injury is the only reason why this match was cut short. I know a guy that knows a guy. And he said that... That was pretty much the reason why the match was cut short. But I hopefully that was the only reason why the match was cut short. and that they didn't job out Cross because, oh shit, they get ready to dump him. Because I feel like Cross has got much more to give and a lot more that people are giving him credit for. And I think Cross can also benefit from a babyface turn. I think him and Scarlett doing what they're doing, I don't know if that's connecting, but I feel like if Cross was to go out there and just be this red-blooded Latino guy from New York, if he was to go out there and be that kind of badass and just do what he has to do, beat people up, talk, not talk in riddles. I think if he worked a faster pace in the ring as well, I think that might help him out a whole lot more. I think the methodical days of wrestling, only a few people can get away with that. The Undertaker being one. I think obviously legends can get away with that, but I don't think a newcomer could come in and get away with that and expect to get over. Just my opinion. Not in front of a WWE audience. And I think Scarlett, having her look and dress more relatable too, might help them out as well. So, I don't know. We'll have to see what they do with Cross. Hopefully a babyface turn, that might be some wonders. So Cross, in theory, man, they might want to test the babyface route with those two guys. Then we had a wild but rushed women's segment featuring Charlotte, Bianca, and Asuka. Then, you know, Io and Bayley got involved. Cash-in was teased, but they fucking thwarted that, Charlotte and Bianca. So that was fine. I mean, they're featuring a lot of stuff. The focus of attention is on Asuka and that championship. You have a bunch of women that want it. You have Charlotte and Bianca who are trying to contend to get a shot at Charlotte, which I think will be a triple threat at SummerSlam, which I'm all for. I think that's going to be great. And then you have Io Sky, who wants that championship as well. But secretly, Bayley wants that championship too. So there's a lot of drama surrounding that championship right now. And that's good. That's what you need. That's good stuff right there. Keep it up. Then we had, of course, the main event segment, which was Jey Uso taking out Solo Sikoa. And I mean, he hit this man in the back with these chair shots like they ain't brothers. Like they ain't blood related. Like they ain't shit. My man went to work on Solo Sikoa. And pretty much challenged Roman Reigns to a championship match. You know, so that's our SummerSlam main event. That's our SummerSlam main event. Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. Solo Sikoa too. Like he got over pretty nicely throughout the night. There's some subtle teases there. Him looking at Roman Reigns. And they're teasing tension there. And Solo is slowly but surely getting the support of the fans as well. And they're teasing some, you know, some heavy tension there with him and Roman. So I expect the turn to come down the line. And I think that can be pretty cool. Solo Sikoa, Roman Reigns. But I said it after Cody lost to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. He was not going to beat Cody Rhodes. Or Cody Rhodes is not going to beat Roman Reigns while he still has support in the bloodline. Roman Reigns has to lose it all around him first. Then he's going to lose that championship. And I don't know. I don't see Jey doing it, even though I would like to see Jey do it. Because I feel like Jey's really worked really, really hard. He's, to me, been the MVP. Him and Sami Zayn. Him and Sami Zayn. Everybody's been playing their roles perfectly in this Bloodline storyline. But I think Jey Uso and Sami Zayn and Paul Heyman are the true MVPs of this fucking Bloodline storyline. And even Roman Reigns, you know, well deserved, you know, the weeks that he was sitting at home, Sammy, Jay, and Paul Heyman really carried the load for this Bloodline stuff. Paul Heyman with his subtle subliminal messages, teases, some of the things that he would do and say. Really good stuff. And Sami Zayn being the comedy, you know, trying to bring the human side out of each member of the Bloodline. That was cool. And then, of course, Jey Uso with his acting, the emotions, getting inside the mind of a tortured soul and a guy who's been manipulated and been mind-fucked. Like, it's real-life stuff. I think the reason why a lot of people love this Bloodline storyline is because, and I say it all the time, it's really relatable. It's really relatable. We all had that cousin or that sibling that was looked at, not in my family at least, but... like, because my mom always treated all three of us as equals. So, we all got our asses cut. We all got praised equally. So, but you're around certain family members who do get that golden goose treatment, who they do have the favor of their parent over maybe another child or cousin or this, that, and the other. So, it's relatable. It's relatable shit. And seeing the younger cousin or the cousin who might not get the adulation and the praise and might not get that golden goose treatment, they rebel. And that's a cool thing to see. It's also relatable. So I like that. Little stuff like that, you know, it scrapes my rocks. And apparently it's scraping everybody else's rocks too because it's good shit. They had a dark segment with LA Knight taking out Hit Row. My man LA Knight coming out there with the Timbs, looking like a G. I fucks with it. Looks like they're going to do a babyface turn with LA Knight, which is the route to go in. And I think that next stop, he should probably beat Top Dollar or Ashanti the Adonis next week. And then he should run up on Theory. And I think, there you go, him and Theory SummerSlam. And even if he doesn't beat Theory at SummerSlam, if Theory has to cheat to beat him at SummerSlam, okay, fine, cool. But LA Knight, if LA Knight walks out of that program United States Champion, I'll be happy. If that's the route they go in, that's the route they should go in. But we'll wait and see. Some other news outside of wrestling. Anybody else following this Adam 22 and Lena the Plug shit? I want to start off by saying that I've listened to No Jumper ever since. No Jumper was 2017-ish? 18? All I know is that back around that time, 2017, 2018, around that time, Maverick and I used to play a lot of 2K together. Shout out to Mav. Love you, boy. But we used to play a lot of 2K. My early days off from work, back when I was still working at the cleaners, and whenever he used to get out of school a little bit early, we used to play 2K. And he used to have No Jumper, because No Jumper back then primarily had a lot of, you know, popping rappers and shit like that, like undiscovered guys. And Maverick likes a lot of the underground undiscovered guys. So we would listen to his podcast. I'm like, you know, this dude's fucking cool. So I would kind of listen to it on my own time and dime too. And I like the podcast, and Lena's hot and everything like that. So, and she adds a little bit of a flavor to the show, and along with some of his other co-hosts and stuff like that he's had over the years. Selena Powell, I mean, Lord knows. I was trolling everybody a few years ago about loving Selena Powell. So, like, I like the brand that he has. Not so much nowadays. I don't know. I really don't watch it anymore all that much, but... Adam 22, he's been doing this plug talk show, and I think it's like a Patreon exclusive, I guess, where him and Lena, they'll interview like a porn chick, and then they'll fuck her, like Adam and Lena, they'll, you know, threesome. And for a while now, everybody's been asking, oh, when is Lena gonna have sex with a guy on camera? Well, it finally happened. She did a fucking scene with... I thought he was retired, but I guess he's not retired. But porn star Jason Love. And apparently, you know, he took Lena the Plug to Pound Town, Boombastic City. Like, he laid it down. He took care of what he was supposed to take care of, you know. And it's, I don't know, man, it's crazy. I don't know. I just, me myself personally, I'm an old school guy. I believe in love is sacred. I'm never gonna tell a woman I love you unless I mean it. If I don't mean it, I ain't telling you shit. And I'm also old school in this sense too. If I'm with you, then I'm only with you. I ain't with nobody else. It's too much drama, it's too much shit for me. always subscribe to the life motto, less is more. Less is more every time. I'm telling you. You guys got to get it. But yeah, I can't be doing all that extra shit, man. No way. Nah, fuck all that. So I just think it's just interesting and all the memes and all the jokes. And Adam is putting on a public front, I think. But I think deep down inside, this man is destroyed. Gotta be. Or he just likes the shit. I don't know. But either way, it's just like, damn, dog. You're rich. You didn't need to do this. I don't need to do this. But whatever. I don't know. This is crazy. I just thought I'd bring it up because me and the homies on Twitter, we've just been just having fun and cracking jokes about this shit all week long because it's just like, wow. Damn, dog. And then other news, personally for me, the Knicks have signed Dante DiVincenzo to a contract, and he's reuniting with Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, a part of that Villanova championship team from a few years ago. So it's good to see those three guys reunited again. Hopefully we get Mikal Bridges next. Somebody better work on that, because Lord knows I've been wanting this guy. We drafted Kevin Knox, bum ass. Because potential, he's got potential. That's all I've been hearing. He's got potential. This motherfucker ain't even in the league no more. Fuck is you talking about potential? This nigga ain't even in the league. Clyde took back his goddamn his sponsorship and his fucking shoe deal. Nigga, bum. We wasted a draft pick on this nigga. I can't believe it. Still, we could have got Mikal Bridges or Miles Bridges, bro. That's what I wanted. Oh, fucking Kevin. Kidding me? Oh my god. But I'm happy that we got Dante DiVincenzo. He's a guy that I would have loved to have in New York too at that around that time. Because I do believe he was in that rookie class as well, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm glad we needed some shooting. He's a guy that can go get a bucket too. So that's really, really good. We lost Obi Toppin, which I'm upset about because I liked Obi. Obi really, really tried. But for whatever reason, Tom Thibodeau did not give him the keys to let him rock. Did not let him rock the way that Obi Toppin needed to rock. And that pissed me off. For whatever reason, Julius Randle can do whatever he wants to do. And I like Julius Randle, right? I've grown to really appreciate him these last, 3-4 years that we've had him now. He has his ups and his downs, just like many other players. But when Julius is fucking shitting up the bag, Tom Thibodeau will let him go out there and continue to shit it up. But these young players, they get punished by not getting playing time. So I don't get it. I don't like it. Yeah, we're paying Julius Randle all this money, but you got to sit his ass down. And Obi Toppin showed us a little bit of a glimpse of what he can do if you let him go out there and do his thing. I wasn't crazy about him taking too many threes and jacking them up and missing them. But besides that, you get Obi Toppin down low, he's going to give you a nice highlight play. Like, he could play smart if you let him go out there and play and let somebody lead him and guide him there. So, I don't know. Best wishes to Obi Toppin. He's going to Indiana. The crazy thing about this whole shit is that we got his brother and we signed him to a contract. So that's fucking weird. Jacob Toppin. So I guess we're going to see what his brother's going to bring us. And what else moves did we make? We're still trying to find a way to get rid of Fournier. Derrick Rose is gone, signed with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that's going to be good for Ja Morant and a lot of the younger players over there. Having Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose over there, I think that can do them some wonders over there. And Derrick Rose, I'm pretty sure Ja Morant had to follow Derrick Rose's career and want to emulate him. His play style kind of reminds me of Derrick Rose before the ACL injuries. So, I don't know, just the way Ja Morant just glides down the fucking court effortlessly is the same way Derrick Rose used to. And I don't know, man. They game to me parallel, you know. So hopefully Ja Morant can learn a lot from Derrick Rose. So I'm hoping, I'm wishing for the best, because I'm rooting for John Morant still. He's a Carolina dude. I want to see him do well, just like Zion Williamson. I want to see Zion Williamson do well too. Like, these guys got to get their heads in the game, man. You can't waste this money. We gotta show everybody that the Carolina boys around here actually can do something if you let us. So I think that's it. I think that is it, everybody. Once again, Monty apologizes for not being able to make it, but you know, duty at Wally World calls every single time. But with that being said, this is your boy RJ the Brooklyn Savage, giving you that weekly Savage report, and catch you guys later. Peace.